Woodmere for partnering with him. So I wanted to talk about, I guess we were talking about shidduch situations before, and add a different dimension to it in terms of what happens when we get that phone call, and we all do. I know I get a bunch in school. Rabbis get, and I'm sure you get references, you know, tell me something about so-and-so, the young man, the young lady, and the family. Okay, so what do we do? So first, as a brief prelude, I was kind of surprised to find this out from, I have five married kids, Baruch Hashem. They're all doing well. But I asked each one of them, you know, how many people your age are divorced? Okay, so I have a 38-year-old, and he said three couples. Okay, and as we go down the road, and they're earlier in ages, 25, 30, up to 12. And I was really blown away. Like, that's a lot of people. And then someone that works in our office told me that she graduated a girls' school locally, and 12 girls in her class are divorced, which is a pretty shocking type of statistic. So it makes me wonder, like, what's wrong? What's wrong that's going on? So I think there's a number of issues, and I don't propose to solve them, but throw out, I think, you know, there definitely is an issue in today's generation, millennials especially, you know, instant gratification. If I can't get what I want, if something is wrong, you know, forget about it. And then, you know, I think we, when I say we, I don't mean us, we're not taking blame in this room, but there are certain obstacles that society has placed in the ways of marriage, which we'll talk about a little bit, and I think the process itself is flawed. The process we have today is flawed in terms of how kids get married, and I think the stigma is reduced. I know when I was back in the day, you know, there was one kid in my grade that was divorced, and it was kind of like, shh, you know, but today, you know, it's 20 or 30% from what I understand in the Orthodox community, which is problematic. So what I want to discuss is, you know, how do we not just counter that, but obviously there's a shidduch crisis out there. People have a difficult time finding, you know, their bashert, if you will. And how do we navigate this, especially if it falls on our shoulders to advise people, you know, good, bad, stay away, or encourage it. And I want to suggest that there's a number of challenges we face and different emotions we have before we get into the halacha, which is usually and should be our guiding light in terms of how to, you know, how to deal with issues, but a lot of different things that go through our minds, perhaps, in terms of, you know, on the one hand, you want to help, you want to see the gal get married, you want to see the guy get married, so you want to kind of encourage it, even though you may know something that's wrong. And a lot of times, you know, I hear of cases where, you know, kids get married, kids in their 20s, get married, and it turns out the man or the woman, there's something really wrong with them, and there was a legitimate reason, you know, for them to get divorced, and unfortunately wasn't disclosed properly at the time by the particular rav or shatchan that may have known information. So how do we deal with this? So I think part of it is we want to help, and perhaps for that reason we may not disclose all the information. Sometimes there's an egocentric thing. I want to get credit. I made a shidduch. Listen, you know, great. So I'd rather have that pride of making a shidduch, even though 5 years later it may unwind because of information I didn't disclose. I think, on the other hand, you know, we also don't want to fashter a shidduch. You know, like, you don't want to be responsible for messing up somebody that's in love with somebody else and wants to get married because, you know, you'll feel you're responsible. On the other hand, you don't want to lie. You know, information, and maybe it is valuable information, you know, so you don't want to lie about it. And then you have to be careful too, you know, I know a case, sadly enough, they wanted the girl to marry their son. So they specifically, you know, said, well, he's not the great match for so-and-so. Why? So the girl will not be tied down to Maishi, and said she'll marry Chaim. So there's lots of, I'd say, almost bad motivations that are out there in terms of, you know, what happens. And I think it's important for us to turn to the halacha and see what the proper guidance is. So if you have the papers I gave out, if you have it, turn to the first page, and you'll see that there's actually a tension, a push and a pull between two different aspects. If not, I have a couple extras. I have a few extras if you want. There you go. Anyone have one? Looks like this. And by the way, if there's any questions, feel free to ask during the course of a little discussion. This is meant to be interactive. I'm not here to give a lecture. I'll share some halachic perspectives, but by all means, feel free to question. So the first thing that we deal with is the pasuk, famous pasuk, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Midvar Sheker Tirchak means you're not allowed to lie. So that would seem to imply, well, if I'm asked a question, I have to give full disclosure, I have to tell all, spill the beans, if you will, and say everything necessary so that the person can make an informed decision. Now, interestingly enough, if you look at some of the sources cited on the bottom, this is the Torah Tzmimo. He writes, Midvar Sheker Tirchak Tan Rabbanim Minayin L'dayim Shalo Yeshev Lo Yeshev Talmud Bur Lefanav. Next one, Minayin L'dayim Shiyadei B'chaver Shugazin Minayin L'dayim Shiyadei B'din Shumruah, which deals with Dayanim. So there are those opinions that say that the prohibition against lying is specifically in the court system. It doesn't apply to us. We're simple people. But the court system, if there is a case that has to be adjudicated by three distinguished rabbanim, so therefore the answer is they can't be involved or in any way tinged by something which is not correct. In which case, we're off the hook. We could say what we want to say. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be true. We don't have to disclose everything we know. And we can kind of lead someone astray. However, you turn the page, there's another opinion. It says, "V'noki b'tzarek al tarog kilo atzik rasha midrash sheker tirchak." On the bottom again, Tanya Rav Nosson Omer midrash sheker tirchak zuas har lefrosh min haminus. This is not just for dayanim; it means for everybody to separate yourself really from any type of falsehood. Minus is the epitome of falsehood. Minus is a denial of Torah. That's considered minus apikorsis. But it would mean any untruth you're not allowed to be involved in. And by the way, there's something, you know, we talk about a lot, especially to young adults, is, you know, there's lies, bad, no question about it, and there's half-truths, which is also bad, right? And then there's implied truths, which is also bad. So, you know, we don't have to look further in the news when you see that there's a healthcare worker, a Gaza nurse, that is shot by Israeli troops. Yeah, but in context, she was throwing a gas bomb. Not that day, but she was a supporter of Hamas. Or, baby dies on Israeli-Gaza border. Yeah, but he didn't die as a result of the Israelis. He died there for other reasons, for medical reasons. So again, you know, these types of statements create a certain impression. So one could argue, I didn't lie. What did I say? I stated a fact. Such and such happened. But you really have to look at the whole context. And the halacha is, especially if you're out to talk about something, not just in Bezdin, but in day-to-day living, you have to be honest and give full disclosure to what's happening. Okay, so now take a look at the Rambam, fascinating source. Says, it's the next page, Kol she'asa limkor l'goy, asa limkor l'Yisrael, shu listen, put that on the side, you're not allowed to sell things, improper things, weapons of mass destruction, chemical warfare, to people that aren't going to use it properly. Even if they're Jews, assuming that they're non-honorable people, certainly not to non-Jews, because you're supporting people that are evildoers. Now look at what he says. Anyone that creates a stumbling block in front of someone in any area, and you give person bad advice. By the way, this isn't just talking about, we're talking about shiduchim, it's talking in general. I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm an accountant. And I said, you know what? You should come back for another visit. Do they really need to come back for another visit? Well, so I can buy myself a nice boat, maybe, but not because they really need it. So that would be improper. That's an eitzah she'en hogenes. I'm giving them advice which is not proper advice. I'm not allowed to do that. Okay? Or shechizek yidei ovri avera, or I induce, or I abet, or I allow someone to do an avera. Shu iver ve'en ro derech emes. This is old Shalias. The rav of the shul, have a cousin, can they come to the bar mitzvah, they're going to drive on Shabbos, allowed, not allowed, many tshuvas on this in terms of balancing out what to do, but the consensus is you're not allowed to do it. Mepnei tavos liva, because a person has his own desires. Harez over below sase, okay? Shenar v'lifnei iver lo siten michshol. Habol litol mimcha eitza, someone comes to ask you advice, shirach, as an example, ten lo eitza hogenus lo. Tell him proper advice, which means to say, it implies, I got to tell the truth. Somebody's asking, should my son marry this girl or vice versa? I got to tell him the positives and the negatives, and you decide, but I got to give you full disclosure. Yeah, go ahead.
So when you're asking, let's say, a rough advice.
You're asking rough advice,
okay.
Right.
Is the rough chiyuv to tell you, or just say, no, it's not for you,
so,
or yes, it is for
hang
you?
Hang on a little bit. Good. Hang on a little bit. Hopefully we'll be able to answer that question. Okay? So, and it's not just rough, it's us. I mean, anyone in this room is going to be asked advice, you know, in the supermarket. Like, tell me quickly about this and this family.
I mean, you're not going to say, well, I don't think it's shy for, yeah, it's great.
So let's see. Okay.
To,
great. Okay, good. So hopefully we'll be able to resolve a lot of those types of questions. Okay. Next page, again, source of the Rambam. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, same idea. He says, Ha'azhara she'ziranam lihimona mehatzolas nefesh mi'Yisrael. We are warned by prohibition. Lo sase. Lo sase means the same force that exists. Thou shall not eat chazer. Chas v'shalom. Right? Drive on Shabbos. Same avera to prevent helping someone that needs help. Im nira basakonas mavis v'abdan v'yeshlan yicholas latzil. If we have the wherewithal, the ability to help someone, this is talking about sakonas nefashos, but he then talks about even monetary loss. I got to help the person. I'm not allowed to sit back and say nothing. I have the affirmative obligation to go ahead.
What's
sakonas? What's that?
You said the word sakonas.
Sakonas. Sakonas is a life and death situation. I see someone drowning. He gives a guy, I see someone drowning. I know how to swim. I don't want to get my suit wet. Wearing a nice suit, like it, right? I have to go to a wedding, so I'm not going to jump in the lake to help a guy, right? So, no, the answer is, doesn't matter. So, Connor, jump in there, do what you need to do, okay? Actually, an interesting case, one of our graduates, he's now a rav and an attorney, he's making aliyah, a wonderful guy, got engaged. So, you know, today's generation, you have to have something sticky. When you get engaged, just can't be, I want to get married. I asked my wife's parents, can I get married? Can I get married? Pretty simple, right? And we went out to eat. But today, you got to have something sticky. Top of the Empire State Building, an airplane, I don't know, whatever. So they had a home in Bell Harbor, and I guess it's recorded. I won't mention the name, but I guess he'd be okay with it. And, you know, he had two friends, also from Yeshiva, that were supposed to pop out of the water and say, will you marry me? Okay, funny. And he says, turn around, and will you marry me? One sign, will you, sign goes up. Marry me, sign goes up. And the guy that says, marry me, starts going underwater. So she thought it's a shtick. This guy is in good shape. He's wearing a suit. He jumps in the ocean, Atlantic Ocean. He swims. He bails the guy. His suit gets totally drenched. He bails the guy out. They call 911, Hatzala. And the girl thinks it's part of the shtick because that's the thing. So they're taking pictures. She's going like this, you know. It turns out it was the real deal. The kid really, you know, went underwater and, you know, Baruch Hashem, he's fine. But, you know, yeah, they okay. They got married. And they have kids and they're doing great. But, you know, it's one of these things that I guess things are a little different in today's generation. So if someone is drowning, you'd have to jump in your suit to save them. And he goes so far as to say, and if someone is suffering a monetary loss and you can prevent it, you have the obligation to say, watch out, don't do business with that guy. You're going to lose money. It's an obligation, okay? And he goes on to say, because if you don't, it's a violation right at the end of this Rambam. Tamud lama lo samod, lo samod al dam reyecha. Not allowed to stand by when your brother's blood is being spilled. Brother, sister, a Jewish person's blood is being spilled. And he says that it's really wrong to do that. So from all the sources we saw so far, it would seem to be full disclosure. I got to tell them everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, okay? Now, let's balance that against something. Next page. Lo selech rochel b'yamecha. Not allowed to be a gossiper. Not to talk lashon hara, right? Lo samar lo dam reyecha. Here again, lo samar lo dam reyecha is the source the Rambam quotes that you have to tell, but right before that, I'm not supposed to tell, right? So what am I supposed to do? Okay. And just to amplify, skip to 3 pages. Lashon Hara, let's talk about Lashon Hara just a bit. Perek Shvi, the page looks like Perek Shvi in the Rambam, right over there. He emphasizes, just to review, I'm sure you all know, Lashon Hara is true or not true? Lashon Hara is true. Moshe Shemra is false. Lashon Hara is true. I'm not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, which means I'm not allowed to say something which is true. If it's negative, it's disparaging. And the Ram goes on to say, if you take a look at Halacha Gimel, Amar Chacham, Shlosh Loshon, Shalosh Loshon, Shalosh Averos Neformin, Adam Balam Azev, Ein Luchelik Alavah, the 3 crimes that you lose your share in the world to come, Avaros Kochavim, idolatry, Gilai Rayos, adultery, Rishvichas Damim, murder, V'Loshon Hara, Keneged Kulam. That's the worst. It's really bad. Loshon Hara is really, really bad stuff. It's like killing a person. Worse than killing a person, right? Avaros Zorah, Gilai Rayos. It's the worst. And he goes on to say it's one of the hardest averas to separate from. It's something that's pervasive in society, right? So, on the one hand, we feel we have to tell. On the other hand, not allowed to tell. It's lashon hara. So what do you do? And what's the resolution? So, there's a fascinating source called the Pischei Tshuva. He lived about 200 years ago. Turn back the page. Turn back 2 pages. I'm going to read it to you in its entirety. Because I think it's telling, and then we'll find one more source. I'll take all your questions. He says, "We're easy lahaskir." See, it's underlined. It looks like this page, Piskei Tshuva on top. I didn't mark the pages. It's like the sixth page in, if you count from the beginning. Okay? Looks like this. No? Yes? See? Ra'is after the first Rambam. Ra'isi lahaskir. It has a page 61 on the upper right-hand corner. Everyone have it? Got it?
I don't understand people.
Okay, fine. I'll translate. Ra'isi lahaskir says, and I want to mention something to you, okay? Al davar asher kol sifrei ha-musar harishu. That the whole world, the Musar world, again, 1800s, the Musar movement was strong. Hirishu made a lot of noise about, clamored. Al avon lashon hara. We have the same thing today. Can't say lashon hara. Lashon hara, right? Lashon hara. Okay. Vanochi marish ha'olam lehebach. And I proclaim, I'm going to make noise the opposite way. Avon gadol mizeh. Worse than lashon hara, v'gam hu motzei yoser, and it's more prevalent than lashon hara. You know what he's talking about? V'hu meniyas atzmo miladaber b'mokam hanitzrach lahatzil es oshek miyad oshkam. It is the reluctance for people to speak up when they need to speak up. Tell people. Everyone's lashon hara. But one second, if you say nothing, what happens? Now, if someone gets harmed irreparably, there's a horrible shidduch. A baby's born. And now, they're divorced. It's terrible stuff that's going on in our society. So he says, that's bad. Derech Mashal, as an example, Mi shara be'echachu orev al chavero ba'arma al derech, b'midbar. You know someone is laying siege, is waiting to attack another person. Lahargo, to kill him. O shara choser machteres balalo. Or you know he's going to break, you hear plans, someone's going to break into the guy's house and rob his house, his business. Right? Hayitachein, is it possible? Sheyimona milahodiyah lechavero? You're not going to say anything? Can anyone imagine that? No, of course not. Of course not. Because mishum isur lashon hara, you're going to say, oh, chas hashom, lashon hara, can't talk lashon hara. No one imagines that. Right? This is worst, he says. He says, and he goes on to say why. He says, now, take a look at the next page, and turn, I'll just paraphrase. V'chein, second line, v'inyanei shidduch. Shaduchim. That's the same issue 200 years ago. Perhaps not as bad. V'hu yodeh shu ishra u'blial. He knows that this guy is a bad guy to marry. Or a girl. V'ral ischatin imo. And it's not proper to marry such an individual. Kulon b'chlal ha'shavas avedus gufo mamono. This is no different than the obligation to return money to its rightful owner. You're harming the person. Okay? V'ata aye lano hageder ragvul, and where do we find the point of demarcation? Lomar ad po nedaber v'lo yoser. This is what we say, not more. It's a balance. We're stuck. One hand, lashon hara, horrible thing. On the other hand, you have to deal with the crisis. You have to deal with the person and let them know what they're getting themselves into. V'aklal bazeh, and the rule of thumb is shadavar masur lelev. Everything is up to you. The heart. And the motivation of the person that's being asked. Im kavanaso l'ruas ha'echad hu lashon hara. If your motivation is, aha, now's my chance, now's my opportunity to speak against this person, osur, keep your mouth shut, say nothing. Aval im kavanaso l'tovas hasheni, but if your motivation is to help the other person, la'atzilo u'lashomro hu mitzvah. So it could be the same fact pattern, the same statements. It all depends what you're thinking. Take a look at the last source and then I'll take your questions. Last source is the Rambam. Again, that quotes something that we're all familiar with. It's the last page. And he talks about lashon hara is bad, and lashon hara can be through implications, it could be even through jokes and disparaging remarks, all that's considered lashon hara. But the last line he says, v'im siper hadavar echad min ha-shlosh ha-pam ha-chers. I'm sorry. V'im nomer dvarm elu b'fnei shlosh ha-kvar nishma hadavar v'noda. If we say, quote, lashon hara, in front of three people, it's on the internet. So people know about it already. It's really not lashon hara. Ain bo mishum lashon hara. Okay, so put something on a blog that everybody knows about and share a link that this guy was indicted. No, v'hu shelo yiskavein lahavir hakol ulegalosa yoser. You know what that means? It depends on your motivation. If your motivation is aha, Did you see the latest news about this guy? Also, even though people could find out on their own, you can't control that. But you're not allowed to spread bad stuff about anybody if your intention is to harm them. If your intention is to help them, then you help another person you can. You follow? So that's the rule of thumb. He asked me whether it's rabbis or other people. You know, it really will depend a lot on terms of, you know, what is your motivation? And it might be something that I recuse myself. Why? Because you're personally involved. Or it might be something, no, I just want to let you know that it may not be good, but I want to go over a couple of specifics. I think, first of all, if you ask advice, it could be general. In other words, if you could effectuate the same result with a general statement, should I do business with this guy? Well, I really can't because he ripped me off, he stole $1 million, he's an embezzler. You could accomplish the same thing. Get yourself a good lawyer. That's a general statement. Hamevin Yavin, he'll figure out. You know, get yourself a lawyer that can watch a situation. You don't have to go, why do you have to go into the specifics of what he did? It's not necessary, okay? Again, this is if you're asked. Next, I definitely would avoid subjective assessments. He's the worst guy I ever met. That's your opinion. It should be objective. Stick to the facts. Stick to specifics as opposed to your own impressions. You know, they say, you know, does the guy learn? Does the guy go to Minyan? Someone told me it was a joke. You know, they asked the guy that doesn't go to Minyan about this kid. Does he go to Minyan? The guy says, I never saw Miss Minyan once. Right? So you have to watch the implications of the words that you're saying. Okay? You certainly must disclose any personal connection you have to the person. Oh, that's my neighbor's kid. It's my business partner's brother, whatever. So you have to disclose it because this is halacha. In the same way, we have laws called transparency in the United States. The last 20 years, 30 years, halacha had it thousands of years ago. Really, you have to disclose if I'm a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, a businessman, I'm billing you for services that you don't need, I got to be told. I'm no gabadover. The Gemara has a case, I'm a stockbroker, and tell you to buy one stock and sell another stock. Why? Because I want to earn commissions. You're not allowed to do that. You have to tell them my motivation is to earn commissions. Right? Yeah, sorry.
Or you know something about the kid, or you know something about the parents, and they're conflicting, you know, like you know there's real lush and horror that you think people know about the parent or the grandparent, but the kid's a great kid. Okay, so do you, you're married to the kid, not married to the parent, so I mean, right, no, but you're advising whether it's a relative or a child, or you're the shotgun, and you know you don't want the kid to suffer, or you don't want the parents to suffer.
You know, right, so again, I think you have to assess if you know the people, and hopefully, you know, I'll tell you a crazy story. My sister, a couple of years ago, a woman called up, could be a high school, graduate boys, and she says, my daughter's going out with a kid that graduated your school, tell me about him. I said, I'm happy to tell you about him. My philosophy happens to be, you can all disagree, they should meet each other, they should go out on dates and decide for themselves, because what they were in 10th grade is irrelevant. And she's pushing and pushing and pushing. I said, Mrs. Jones, I don't know if you remember, when your son was in 10th grade, we asked him to leave. And now he's a Ben Torah, so he's an Eretz Yisrael, he's learning. So like, who cares what he was when he was 15 years old, he grew up. She says, got it, thank you. So the answer is, I think the best remedy, which I think works, how many people here were set up and how many people met your spouse? You know, I guess in the old-fashioned way, going out on a date. I think most people, you know, years ago, you'd go on a date, you'd introduce maybe, but it wasn't. There were no resumes. I tell girls, you know, you're not a resume, you're not a piece of paper, you're a person, right? So, you know, I think the process has become distorted. So you have to know the person. If it is meaningful to them, you know, then that's important. If you know it's a type of individual that's always running home to his mother, his father, you know, and they're going to be a meddling you know, person, that might be an issue. But if they're independent enough, saying, okay, so you're marrying the girl or the guy, and you're not necessarily marrying the parents. So, you know, you have to be smart. And I think they'll pick up
on. Sounds like a scuffle, and you know the kid is, but the parents aren't observant or something.
Again, you know what? You're marrying the kid. And I think, you know, even in terms of Hashkav, I have a niece that, you know, didn't want to marry a guy that went to the movies. Okay, that's her thing. She's not a frumy girl, just grew up good citizen. So she went, I think it was a YU mixer, and she met the guy, and, you know, The guy goes to the movie, he goes by himself. Like, okay, they're happily married, 3 or 4 kids. Like, that's okay. So I think they should make that determination. But sometimes there's things that you throw at them from the very get-go, and they're turned off, and they don't want to, you know, consider anything
more. This only happened to me once in my life, and I never even knew people do this, but they called me up about someone I know, and they said, I heard the parents are religious. Are they? And I knew absolutely not. And I saw the man driving all the time on Shabbos. And I said, I don't know, unless they change. But, you know, it was like last week, unless they changed, I don't think they're religious.
Right. So the only issue is whether these concerns will impact in terms of the marriage. If it will, fine. If not,
well, I don't know. They just asked me, and I know that. So
you have
am
to.
I not supposed to tell them.
Well, again, a lot of this you have to use your judgment, and I think it's unfair to characterize someone. Listen, there's a lot of people, wonderful young men and women that became religious later in life, and the parents or the grandparents may not be. So, you know, again, it will depend how much. I think.
Ladies, I really apologize. Sure. But if somebody asks you straight up, are they religious or not?
For the kid?
The parents. Or the grandparents. It's their choice to make their decision, not you to decide what they should be thinking. They're
right.
Assuming you're so
well,
that's
I don't
your asking. I'm not getting you. That's my problem.
So I don't know.
You're saying make a judgment whether they should care. That's not your problem.
Right. Okay, because the answer is that might be the type of thing, but go check yourself. I don't know. So. I don't know, but you have a right to lie. In other words, what's the purpose? It's their own, called the Mishigas.
They only want to marry somebody who wears pink sneakers on Tuesdays. That's their right.
Right. Okay. Right. So they
can
say
that. I don't know. You can know whatever you want, but you can't. I don't see where you're at the Thursday life.
No, I'll tell you why. Because the question is, if the kids are fine with each other, you know? I don't know. I'll ask you about the grandparents. Is a guy.
Ask whatever you want.
What's that?
Ask if I pick my teeth with a metal or a wood toothpick. It's your choice.
Right. Okay. So the question is, I would say, find out. You can check it out. I don't know if you have to go in and say anything negative. Yeah.
So my question is this: somebody's not asking, but you know information, and I'm
so that will be.
I'm saying this based on something that really happened in my life.
Right.
Okay? Where there was a shidduch, and I knew something about one of the parties. The assumption that I made, and everybody made, was that the person had disclosed to the other person, or in this case, the girl was told by whoever was making the shidduch. And what happened in the end was they got married, and then something happened. And the girl didn't know. She had no idea of the guy's background, and it was something fairly serious. And she got very angry at everybody in the community, because she turned around and said, why didn't you tell me? And I think everybody turned around to her and said, because we all assumed that whoever made your, like, you knew.
Well, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about if you know factual information.
Yeah.
Let's say, God forbid, there's a lot of different objective perspectives. You would have to tell them that they should know.
Even if they don't ask.
Well, again, if they ask, it's easy, but they don't ask. I have an interest in the guy's grandson. And the mole did a bad job. And right after the bris, we ran those speeches, we ran to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, we ran to reconstruct. Thank God they did this one. Okay. So, and inshallah, like a lot of people about the mark. If what other times you said yes. Okay. If somebody asks you, you can say, it didn't work out. But to go around and just smirch the guy, you can't do that. So, I've seen this multiple other verses in Baruch Hashem. It's okay. So, this case didn't work out. It's not an easy thing, but the emotion is like, let me go get the guy. But if someone asks you, it's easier. If they don't ask you, and you know it's been harmful, then you would. So, again, I guess if this guy had a reputation of doing it multiple times, or there's a genetic thing that the family needs to know about, you have to tell them. That's what you suggest. Okay.
Serious? I was going to say something to that. I know this couple was dating for a while, and they overpaced up. They just, you know, went their own pace up plans. And someone called anonymously to him and said, did you find out what happened to her in 12th grade, why she wasn't in school? And no, she hadn't disclosed, even though they had asked, do you have any medical conditions to tell me about? She had a breakdown in 12th grade. She didn't disclose it. And this anonymous person, until today, they don't know who it is. And the, basically, the fact of the betrayal was probably even more, like, to broke the shit up. But you can call anonymously, even if you're the third person, call it anonymously.
So, yeah, again, it's complicated.
So he might have asked her afterwards what happened in 12 days, and she wouldn't say anything.
Okay.
There's something there.
So, again,
it
depends on something pure or not pure.
Okay.
My gut, more than anything, is that you really have to look at the big picture. Because in the case of the person driving on Shabbos, we don't know, it could have been the Kol Nefesh.
No, they do it all the time. I see them all the time.
But we still don't know. Maybe he's a doctor. And
I know what he is. I know what he is.
The person that's getting married. And if somebody went to jail, that's for Shalom, and they did shuva, I mean, really, who? So that's a decision you have to make. And you should have all the facts. But
I know a rabbi who knew that the guy went to jail and knew he went for it. He felt that this guy did enough tshuva and he doesn't feel that he has to disclose
again,
it.
Again, question.
No,
I'm not saying you have to disclose it. So
the rabbi has no right to say that I think he did enough tshuva.
Right, the rabbi says,
but the Kesubim have to say that he's got to be in jail.
Right, that's same enough.
I'm saying, like, they could have been in, like, maybe you should know that because the kids, some kids, like, okay, they went through it, never had a really hard time. The kids grew up well adjusted.
Well, that's the case, and you don't
know. Other times, kids
then you don't know. Then, look, I'll say one other thing, which is also to maybe answer that. A lot of times we don't want to admit we don't know. I don't know enough about the kid. I don't know enough about the kid. He may have gone through a bad experience early on. I don't know, but it's 10 years later.
You should indicate only what you know factually,
right,
not
right,
your
right,
opinion.
Right.
I just don't like people say no because they call this 90-year-old and says, I don't see it. I'm like, what do you mean a 90-year-old can't see the shidduchs from a Kosh Baruch Hu? Like, so you when a shidduch, when you call a reference, they're supposed to say factual, good, and like how wonderful that person is, what you know currently.
Yeah.
Not to give your opinion, like, oh, I just don't see
right.
it. And you're basing your life on, I see here that all the time, I get to know.
Right.
You're basing your life on what a 90-year-old can't see. Sometimes you see couples, you're like, who made that shit up? Because it's obviously what it's worth, because you would never set it up.
Well, that's why,
So I come from a, like, I have a lot of family members that because they listen to Avi Weiss, they believe that all Stern girls are Beis Yaakov type.
I have no idea.
And as a result, I'm more yeshivish. I'm being read so many Stern girls by family members because of that aggressive agenda, simply because they say anyone who does not listen to Avi Weiss is Haredi. How do I deal with that?
I think you should meet girls that seem suitable to you and go out. And you go out once, twice, three, you'll know after a couple times. And again, what I advise, and then you can totally disagree, you know, there's an article in one of the local papers about, I think, someone made a wedding and, you know, Baruch Hashem had this, okay, a novel idea, the guys and girls sat in the same room. Nice idea. But he says it should be mechitza and a shatkin working back and forth. You know, the Gemara he's quoting about Tubav means the guys should meet the girls independently. I didn't have a shatkin and a mechitza. Now, of course, if there's a question of preetzos, halacha takes precedence, of course. But hopefully, if you're dealing with a girl that went to yeshiva and a guy that went to yeshiva, they understand. They understand the gedarim. They understand what's right and what's wrong, just like in a marriage. Person understands there's taras mishpacha, and there's times you can have, you know, relations, intimate relations, times that you can't. So that's a certain amount up to the person. So I would suggest if you go out a bunch of times, whatever the time, 2, 3, 4, 10, I don't know what, X, you will find out in short order the personality flaws, usually, better than someone outside telling you who may have a vested interest in getting money from being a shacham, not knocking shacham, they do good work, but sometimes there is motivation. And I always say, go out enough times that, you know, when you go out on his or her birthday, you know, and you come late to the restaurant and you're stuck in traffic, you know, and they run out of, I don't know, chocolate mousse pie. I can't believe this place. You know, Gemara says, kiso, kaso, and kaso. You can tell a lot about a person, how they respond to certain situations. So if you went out X amount of times and you see that they responded improperly, say, no, thank you. Not for me. I'm not going to continue. You can tell a lot from a person just how they react. So I think that's probably the best gauge instead of having any of us adults kind of mission and try to determine based upon what we think is right, you know, what's going to work for them. Okay.